Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Jesus, you are everything to me. Amen. How about you? God's so good. I tell you, you know, I say that a lot because God gets so much bad press. And so many people think that God's not good and God's not loving, and God's not kind, and God's not receiving. So many people have a mindset of God that doesn't come from God. It comes from people and religion and craziness. And you know what? So we got to remind people that God is good. And God has a plan for us. And it's a plan to bless us and prosper us and heal us, redeem us, restore us, help us. Amen?
Amen.
That's God. When they asked Jesus, why are you here? Why did you come? What did Jesus say? I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's my God, and that's the God of the Bible, right? Amen. Well, we got a good service for you guys today. We got a couple things. We have had a super busy weekend here at BBC. It started out a Friday night. Let me just make a big announcement. Big announcement. We had bowling on Friday night, and there was a big winner. And it was me! Not John Clark, who's not even here today. I'm going to get him for that. He's crying. He's home crying in his pillow. No, I'm just kidding. He's probably working. But anyway, so we started out bowling, and then the kids had all this week. The young people have had activities going on all week for spring break. And so Friday night, they had a lock-in. And so we need to pray for all of our youth leaders because they're still recovering. And then we got here, a big group of us. Really, I'm so impressed how many people came out on Saturday morning at 7:30 in the morning. I came into the office and there was a youth leader sleeping on the floor. I accidentally woke him up. You know, hey, if you've never done a lock-in, you don't know. You don't know. It's one of those things you have no idea until you're there. Amen. You have no idea. It takes about a week to recover from that. I'm too old for those now. I'm just can't do it. But anyway, so then we had a big group of people. A lot of people came, and we went gleaning. Now, that's not a typo. It's not cleaning. It's gleaning. And it's so funny because my husband forgot where I was. He called me, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I am picking corn." And he's like, "What?" I said, "I'm picking corn. I am literally in a cornfield in Loxahatchee picking corn. That is what I'm doing." And so he thought that was hysterical. But anyway, so we had a big group of people, and we went out to Loxahatchee, and we picked corn, and we picked a lot of corn. And it was all donated to the Palm Beach County Food Bank, and so it's going to go to help families who are less fortunate and don't have groceries of their own. And so it was through cross ministries and through gleaning, that's a biblical term, where the farmers hold some back for poor people to come in. And so we were able to go, we were able to check that off our bucket list. We are now corn pickers. And so it was very exciting. And, you know, let me tell you something. I've always really respected people that work outside all day because, man, it's hot. But I cannot even imagine doing that all day long for 10, 12 hours. I tell you what, that is hard work. That is hard work. But anyway, so we were able to do that. That was a great time. And then the young adults on Saturday night went bowling. And what else do we have going on? I think that's about it. But that's a lot, you know? And so a lot of stuff going on. Spring break is coming to an end. Want to say a special thanks to Pastor Chris and Camille for all the work that they did for the young people. And, of course, all their amazing youth leaders, which I won't name because I might miss somebody. But good job, youth leaders. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. So, all right, moving along, let's see who the big winner is today for our parking gift. Now, if you're visiting with us today, I want to say welcome. How many churches you go to give something away every day, right? We do this just to say thanks for being a good sport about our parking situation, which is one of the main reasons why we are adding a service on to Sunday morning starting April 6th, because of parking. So here we go. What do we got today? Outback. Glory to God. So some winner is going to get a steak dinner. Here we go. Ready? 2, new tickets. 214, 4. That cracks me up every time. So it's 214-409. Oh, right over here. Big winner. Praise the Lord. So we had some other connect groups going on this week. Pastor Norm's Fresh Air is on Friday nights, and then bowling, of course. Big winner. What else? Men's Bible study on Friday night. So if you're looking for something to do, and then lunch today with the Centrons. I think their group is full, though, but they're letting anybody in, so you could probably go. You could probably go. But all right, who's ready for a good message?
Yeah.
Look at that. Is that the cutest dog you've ever seen? Look at that face. She's a cutie. All right, now this message was inspired by many of your comments after last week's message. So, you guys ready?
Ready. Yeah.
You know, we've been talking these last few weeks, but I got a couple of jokes for you first. Somebody sent me some jokes. These are pastor's jokes, so I figured, oh, I'll look at those, pastor's jokes. They got to be pretty funny. So here's one. Sunday school teacher was describing how Lot's wife looked back and suddenly turned into a pillar of salt. I remember that story in the Bible. Johnny said, my mommy once looked back while she was driving, and she turned into a telephone pole. I like this one. A minister asked a little girl what she thought of her first church service. She said the music was nice, but the commercial was too long. So here's my commercial for the day. You guys ready? Over in the Bible in Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9 is a great scripture. It says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Another translation says he is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so God is looking all over the earth. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for people to use. He's looking for people that he can bless. You know, and again, just like Pastor Scott said, God's not up in heaven with his arms crossed, with a scowl on his face, thinking, I'm going to get those guys. That's not God. That's not God of the Bible. God is up in heaven, and the Bible says that he is looking over the whole earth. He's looking every day, all the time, and he is looking for those whose hearts are turned towards him. And you know what he's going to do when he finds somebody whose heart is turned towards him? He's going to bless them. So how many are saying, right here, right here, Lord, I'm ready, you know? We need help. Look at your neighbor, say you need help. Now look at the neighbor you didn't think needed as much help and tell them they need help too, right? But you know, God's looking for people to use, he's looking for people to bless, and he wants to use people, but so often people say these kind of things. They say, God could never use me. I don't know enough. I don't have enough talent. I'm too new of a Christian. They say, I'm shy. I get nervous. I have too many hang-ups. Hello. Too many fears. And that's what we've been talking about these last few weeks is fears. And they say, God can never use me. But I want to tell you that that is not true. God uses ordinary people. He uses people with hang-ups. How many of you have ever read the Bible? How many of you have ever seen? Sometimes when you think of who God uses, you're just like, seriously? You know, I mean, some of the people God used had some pretty big hang-ups. You know, Abraham had hang-ups. He made a few false turns, wrong turns, right? Name Ishmael, ring a bell. Moses had some things going on. He said, I can't do it. I can't even talk. We've got David. He had some pretty big things going on. What about Samson? I mean, how many times, right? How many times until you get it? This girl's not for you. You know, don't you ever want to say that to some people, you know? How many times? Is it going to take getting all your hair cut off? Is that what it's going to take? You know, but I mean, when we look at the people God used, they were ordinary people. They had hang-ups just like you and me. They had stuff going on in their lives. And, you know, and so when we say stuff like, I'm too shy, I'm too this, I'm too nervous, I'm too whatever, we're really discounting God and what he says. Because you're too caught up in what you think. You know, has anybody ever been talking to you and they say, well, here's what I think. And on the inside, you don't say this out loud because we're nice people, you know, but on the inside you're thinking, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think at all. What you think got you here. I'm not interested in what you think. Because if what you think is going to have the same effect on my life as had on yours, not interested. Now, we don't say that out loud. We think these kind of things. But on the inside, we're thinking, I don't care what you think. But on the outside, we're like, okay. You know, all right. But, you know, we've got to, just like all these songs that we're singing, we got to lay me down. You got to lay down what you think. You got to say, Lord, what you think is more important. Amen. Your way is more important. Your way's the right way. My way's gotten me here. I'm tired of here. I want to go there. Amen? And so we've got to think about what God thinks. We've got to say, enough of me, more of you. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, Lord, less of me and more of you. Oh, wouldn't that be good? How much better would our lives be if we had less of us? You know, you ever look in the mirror and think, man, I need less of you. You know? You'll get that later. That was a good one. All right, here we go. Come on. But today, you know, I just want to encourage you, God uses ordinary people. Now, I know it isn't Christmas. It's only May. No, it's not May. It's, what month are we in? March. Hello. It's March. But we're going to talk about Mary today, even though it isn't Christmas. But, you know, it's kind of silly we only talk about Mary at Christmas time. She's really an amazing fixture of the Bible, character in the Bible. We should talk about her more often. So we're going to talk about Mary today. So you guys ready? Now, before we start, let's just clear up. Let's just kind of lay some groundwork. Because all of us are from all different kinds of backgrounds. And so let me just say a couple things. And if this kind of rubs you the wrong way, then I encourage you to go to the Bible about it. Don't get bent at me. Go to the Bible. All right? Because I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Mary was perfect. Nowhere does it say that she was God. It does say that she was a person just like you and I. And nowhere does it say that we are to worship Mary, pray to Mary, or receive anything from Mary. The Bible says that we're to worship the one and true God, and that's God the Father. Mary is awesome. Mary is a wonderful person. She's a person. Okay? So if that kind of is like, that doesn't really sit with my background, well, let's get your background caught up with the Word of God. Amen? No offense to anybody else, but we want to keep it real with the Bible. And so when we talk about Mary, she's just like Paul. She's just like Moses. She's just like Abraham. She was a person that was used mightily by God. Amen? And so we respect her, but we don't worship her. We don't worship her. All right, so let's keep going. Now we got that taken care of. Over in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 55, which that's a lot of verses. We're not going to read all those. I'm going to give you the gist of it. The Bible tells the story of Mary. We've all read this at Christmas time. And it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. So the question we're going to ask today is, why did God choose Mary? Of all the women he could have chosen to be the mother of Jesus, why did he choose her? And so we could say, was it because of her education? The answer would be no, because she didn't really have one. But because of her wealth? It says, oh, he picked her because she's got a lot of money. No, she didn't have a lot of money. Would it be because of her maturity? No, because of all historical accounts, she was a teenager. You know, most women were married by the time they were 16. Now, for you youth in here, those days are over. Over. All right? So it wasn't for those reasons. And so the thing about it is I want to look at what God said to Mary and what her response is, because I know that God is speaking to a lot of people in our church. I know that He is speaking to you, and He is stretching you, and you're at that point where you want to step out of your comfort zone, and you know God's got stuff for us, and we've been saying, we prayed about it last year, we're going to live it this year, that God has stuff for us this year, that we're going to get pulled out of our comfort zones, we're going to do what God's called us to do, we're going to live the life that God has for us. How many are with me? Yeah. Amen? I mean, you know, we're tired of the hamster wheel, just same old life, day after day after day. Who wants that? That is not what I believe Jesus thought. When he was hanging on the cross, he wasn't thinking, man, I'm going to go through all this so they can have a ho-hum life and just do the same thing every day. No, when he was on that cross, he was thinking of us having life and life to the fullest. That's what the Bible says, right? Yes. You know, I love one Bible. It says, one translation, it says, what is that? It says fullness of joy. Does that sound like your life? That's how it's supposed to be. Amen. Fullness of joy. We got joy in your life. Amen? And so we want that life. And so when we think about this kind of stuff, and we're going to look at what God said to Mary and how she responded, because you know what? Mary was used mightily by God, and I believe that we all want to be used mightily by God. And so if you want to do something, you got to look at somebody who did it. See what they did, right? And so here we go. So over in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 55. So here we go. Here we go. We read about this. The angel shows up. And I want us to look here in verses 29 and 30. We got it up here for you. This is Mary's first response when the angel came. Confused and disturbed. Sound like somebody you know? Confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be frightened, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. It says she was confused and disturbed. And this word in the Greek, you know what it means? Scared stiff. She was very, very shaken up. And you know what? That could be you, because God is stretching us and he's pulling us and he's encouraging us to step out. You know what? Let me tell you something. When we decided to add another service, we were all nervous about it. We were like, oh, you know, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen and this could happen. And, you know, let's just leave it how it is. But no, God is stirring in us. He's stirring in us to stretch. He's stirring in us to step out. He's stirring in us to grow and be who he's called us to be. But you know what? It wasn't like we were just like, oh, yeah, let's do it. No, there was a nervousness, a fear, you could say. And so I want to talk to you today about being used by God in spite of fears. Because fear comes. Fear comes to all of us. All of us have those moments of nervous, those moments of I can't do it, those moments of are you kidding me? Me? No, not me. And we got to push past that. And so here's Mary, and God, the angel comes to her and tells her what the plan is, and the Bible says that she was scared stiff. But there's good news for all of us who have ever been scared stiff. The story doesn't end there, does it? It keeps going. Your story doesn't have to end where you're scared. Did you hear that? Your story doesn't have to end where you're scared. You got to push past that. Let's let it end where God says for it to end. So anyways, that means scared stiff. Now picture this. Let's just get an idea here. God sends an angel, and an angel says to an unmarried teenage girl, you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Now we've heard the story so many times, we're like, oh yeah, yeah, it's Mary and Jesus, of course. But this is the first time that Mary had ever heard it. Can you imagine how freaked out she was? But let's look at some of the things that she was probably freaked out about. And maybe you're here today and you're dealing with the same stuff. Because the Bible is relevant for today. Everything in it can be applied to where we are. And so maybe God is telling you to step out and do something. You know, I believe that there are bosses in this room. There are people that are supposed to be running wherever you work instead of just working there. There are people that should be starting new businesses. There are inventors in this room. There are future college students in this room, even though maybe nobody in your family has ever gone to college. There are happy marriages in this room. Even though maybe nobody in your family has ever been able to stay together, you are going to be different. Amen? There are ministers in this room. There are missionaries in this room. There are youth pastors in this room, youth leaders. There are people that are going to be used by God. And when God spoke something to you and he said, Angela, this is what you're going to do this year. Because Angela's doing something amazing this year. But you know what? I bet when the Lord first stirred it in her heart to do it, I know because we've talked. You know what? Her first, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can. Maybe that's what you're saying. Or maybe there's that fear of criticism where somebody's going to say, who do you think you are? Who are you? Who are you to do something so big and so great? Who are you to be the boss? Who are you to be the manager? You need to stay down where you are. Anybody ever heard that? Maybe they didn't say it, but their look said it all. Right? You know, and that's how Mary, imagine her. Fear of criticism. Imagine her. She's sitting there. She's not married. She's a teenager, and she's going to be pregnant soon. One thing about pregnancy, you can't hide it forever. People try, but you can't hide it forever. And so she's probably thinking, what's everybody going to think? Nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to believe this. Nobody's going to believe this wild story. Fear of criticism. You know, another thing that she was probably dealing with that I know there are people in our church that are dealing with this fear, and that's fear of the supernatural. There are so many of you that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Do this. Woo! That's what everybody thinks whenever you start to say speaking in tongues. Everybody's like, ooh, that's weird. I don't know. It is weird. You know what it is? It's supernatural. Yeah. It's not you. It's God through you. But because you're afraid of the supernatural, you won't step up. You're missing out on something. You're still on your way to heaven. God still loves you. God's still good. But you're missing out because you're afraid of something that's beyond your mind's ability to make it make sense. Speaking in tongues is weird. Let's just be honest. It is bizarre. It does not make sense. It pushes you out of your comfort zone. But you know what? Everything that's supernatural does. Amen. That's why it's called supernatural. Amen. If it was natural, there'd be no
super.
That's deep.
That's deep right there. That's deep. You know, and I bet Mary was pretty freaked out about the supernatural too. Because, you know, the angel said, she said, how's this going to happen? And the angel told her. She was probably like, whoa, whoa. But you know what? Your life doesn't have to stop where your fear is.
Right.
Let's keep going. Another thing she probably dealt with was fear of inadequacy. How would you like to be given the parenting duty of raising the Son of God? Right? You know? He's the Savior of the earth, Mary. Now raise him. She probably thought, me? What do I have? How can I do this? What am I going to do, right? Just like you when the Lord speaks to you and says, hey, you got an idea for your work. Hey, you should go to college. Hey, you should be the boss. You're probably thinking, who, me? And you know what? God's saying, yes, you. Yes, you. Why not you? Why not you? Amen? Last thing Mary was probably thinking about was the fear of change. How many know her life was going to change? Fear of the unknown. You know what? When we think about this, I want us to say, you know what? I can identify with those things. I can identify with that. But Mary's story doesn't end there. And let's not let our story end where our fear is. How many want to push past that fear? God can use you even though you might be really just scared stiff. He can still use you. And so you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you four things that are going to help you to push past that fear like Mary did. So you guys ready? We're going to do them pretty quick. Number one is to develop an awareness of God's presence. Amen. Just to know that God is there. You know, realizing that he is there with you wherever you go. I know we talk about this a lot and we say it a lot, but it's true. God is with you. Amen? God's with you. The first thing that the angel says to Mary before he says anything else is the angel came to Mary and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." You know what? The peace of God and the presence of God, they go together. When you have the presence of God, you have the peace of God. When you have the peace of God, you have the presence of God. They go together. They cannot be separated. You don't get one without the other. God is near you. You need not fear. And I know I've said this a million times, but it helped me. It helped me in my life. My dad, I grew up in a pretty strict home, and before I would leave the house, when I got older, I had a driver's license, that kind of thing, my dad would look at me with those eyes. He would look at me and say, "Now, Peggy, everywhere you go, Jesus is with you." But it helped me because it developed in me a sense that I was never alone, that God was with me. You know how many have a big brother or sister? Big brother or sister. You know what? You're a little mouthy when your big brother's around, aren't you? You're like, "Yeah, yeah." Because your big brother's right behind you. And you know what? The thing is, we've got to develop an attitude that my God is with me. Yes. The Bible says He is my ever-present help in time of trouble. The Bible says I abide under the shadow of His wing. Amen? He is with me. And if God be for me, say it with me, who can be against me? But you know what? We've got to develop that because here's the thing. It doesn't come automatic. When you feel lonely, you feel alone, you feel like nobody's there for you, nobody will help you, nobody's going to reach out to you, you are showing, you're giving an indication that you have not developed, say developed. No. You have not developed an attitude that God's presence is always here. You got to develop it. You got to make it a habit. Where you remember, my God is with me. My God is here. I am never alone. We need to remove the word alone from our vocabulary. Because the truth of the matter is, we are never alone. And that's what Mary did. Mary did that. The Bible tells us in Luke 2:19, it says that Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often thought about them. You know what she was thinking about? What the angel had told her. He said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you." How much better would our lives be if we sat alone quietly, often, like Mary did, and we reminded ourselves, God is with me. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. My help is here. My Savior is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's my helper. He's called alongside to help me. I am never without help. We got to develop that. We got to get into a habit when we don't know the answer that we say, but I know who does. When we're feeling alone, but I know God is with me. When we feel inadequate, my God makes up for all my shortcomings. Amen. God is with me. God is with you. But we got to develop that. Now, you know what? This is in verse number 30, it says this, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God loves you dearly." Now, I read this quote in a book, and I want you to grab a hold of this. This is so good. We defeat our fear of the unknown by relying on what we do know. Isn't that good? I'll say it again. We defeat our fear of the unknown by relying on what we do know. And you know what? That's how we're going to defeat fear in our life. Not by figuring it all out, because how many know you can't figure it all out. It's just too much. There's too many things going on. We don't have all the answers. But we've got God. So instead of concentrating on what I don't know, I'm going to concentrate on who I do know. Maybe you're waiting on a doctor report and you're all freaked out. You're like, what if it's this? What if it's this? What if it's this? My encouragement to you would be to stop. Stop worrying about what you don't know and build yourself up in who you do know. Remind yourself that whatever it is, you've got a God who's a healer. Amen? Whatever it is, you've got a God who loves you, cares about you. You've got Jesus who bore stripes on His back for your healing. Amen? We're going to defeat the fear of the unknown by relying on what we do know. I like to say it by relying on who we do know. You know, I say this a lot. I may not know all the answers, but I know who does. Amen? I may not know everything, but I know who does. And so we got to develop an attitude of, man, God is with me. And the second thing that Mary did that was so good is that the Bible tells us over here in verses 31 and 33, the angel says, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. Now, God comes to Mary and tells her this, but here's Mary's response. In verse number 38, Mary said, this is so good, I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you said come true. Oh, isn't that good? You know, we want the plan of God. There is a yearning on the inside of every human being to live the plan of God. You may not know that's what it is, but that is what it is. All of us want to live the plan God has for us. And before we were even born, in Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says that God knew you and had a plan for you. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, we will repeat whatever pattern has been set before us. If you're not careful, if you're not devoted to the plan of God, you'll do whatever you've seen done. We've got to devote ourselves to the plan of God. We've got to say, no matter what, I'm living the plan of God for my life. I don't care if nobody in my family's ever had a successful marriage. I will. I don't care if nobody's ever been to college. I will. I don't care if nobody's ever been the boss. I will be. I don't care if my mother wasn't a good mother. I'm going to be a good mother. I don't care if my dad was whatever. I'm not going to be that. But if you're not careful, whatever pattern was set before you as you grew up, you will duplicate that pattern. And then one day, you're going to be looking around and you're going to say, this doesn't look like the plan of God for my life. What happened? What happened? I can't tell you how many people sit across from my desk and those are the words that they say. I never thought this would be my life. This is not what I expected. I believe God told me to do this, but God put this in my heart, but you know what? Let's let this year be the year that we say, God put this in my heart and I'm doing it. Amen. God has a plan for your life, but you got to be devoted to the plan. Mary was devoted to the plan. She said, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. And we see further on when Jesus was grown, his very first miracle, we read about it in Acts, what happened? When Jesus was at the wedding and his mother came to him and she said, hey, they're out of wine. What did Jesus say? He said, woman. I love that. I used to call my mom, woman. I was like, Jesus did it. I can do it too, right? Woman. My mom was like, uh-uh. And so he said, woman, what does it have to do with me? She ignored him, like your mother ignores you when you talk to her, right? And she turned to the servants, and what did she say to them? She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She knew it had worked for her before. And she knew that it would work again. And you know what? It will work again. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Be devoted to the plan of God for your life. But here's the thing. If you're devoted to the plan of God for your life, then your actions and your decisions and everything have to funnel into that plan. You know, how many know Irwin is at Bible school? Irwin, our little wayward child, came back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now he's in Bible school. He's getting ready to graduate in May. Miracles still happen. But you know what? Erwin was like, I'm called of God. I'm going to be in the ministry. Isn't that what he told all of us? Stood right up here. He told all of us that. Now, if he was still sitting in a pew doing nothing, what would we'd be like, dude, that's not how that works. Right? He had to do something. He had to devote his life to the plan. And so that's why decisions and things that we're making plans for our life, every decision impacts your life. And so you've got to make a decision. You know what? I've made a decision to live my life for the plan that God has for me. So you know what? The answer to that is absolutely no. The answer to that is no. The answer to that is yes. It goes along with the plan. If God put in your heart to be a doctor, guess what? You have to go to college. Right? Because, you know, you may come up to me and say, if I'm sick, and you say, you know what? I've been watching on TV. I watch doctors all the time on TV. I read books about it. And God has put it in my heart to be a doctor. I can do this. Well, we'd be like, I don't think so, right? I don't know about you, but I want my doctor to have gone to medical school. I mean, call me picky, but see, if that's the plan of God for your life, can you see the decisions have to go with that plan? You can't just sit on a pew and be like, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and all you're doing is sitting on a pew. You got all of it. You say, I'm devoted. Someone who's devoted, their actions and their decisions go along with what they're devoted to. So don't tell me that you're devoted to the plan of God for your life. Don't tell me I want to serve in ministry. I want to be in full-time minister, pastor. Don't tell me that and then have this crazy party life on the side, because they do not go together. They don't go together. I know. I tried that. Tried the crazy party life and still wanted to be a minister. It never happened for me. Isn't that crazy? But that's the truth, because what happened? My actions and my decisions were contrary to what I said I was devoted to. When you're really devoted to something, you'll lay other stuff down.
Amen.
And that's what Mary did. Can you imagine what she laid down? She laid down her reputation. There had to be people. I mean, even in church. I mean, church people are supposed to be good people, right? Don't look at anybody. But even in church sometimes, you know? I mean, you tell somebody, you're like, man, God spoke to me. I got a plan for God in my life. Even in church, people are like, really? We'll see. Can you imagine them? Can you imagine Mary going to her church and saying, well, guys, an angel of the Lord appeared to me, and I'm going to be expecting soon. And they're probably thinking, she got knocked up. I mean, seriously, right? Isn't that what you would think? And so here's Mary. She's got to do that. But even with the ridicule, and you know what? You might be ridiculed. Maybe your family doesn't live for Jesus, and now you're taking a stand for Jesus, and it's hard and it's difficult because they're saying, what's the church going to do for you? What are you going to church for? Blah, blah, blah. All they want is your money. How many have heard that one? Right? I mean, you know. But yet you're trying to tell them, no, it's important to me, but they don't get it. But you got to keep pushing through. Don't let your story end where your fear is. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of people not liking you. Guess what? People don't like you. Somebody somewhere doesn't like you. And maturity is saying, all right. Everybody's not going to like the decisions you make. But we got to make a choice that I'm not going to live for everybody. I'm going to live for Jesus. Amen? Because the Bible tells me in Proverbs 32 that he will lead me on the best pathway for my life. Your life getting a little empty? You thought the success or the money or this would make it what you wanted it to be, but now you just have more stuff, but you're still miserable? That's a lot of people's lives. It's because you're trying to do life without God, and it doesn't work that way. You need God in your life. There is a part of you that no matter what you have, no matter what success, no matter who's on your arm, no matter who's in your bed, it will not matter if it is not the plan of God for your life. It won't bring you what you're looking for. And so there comes a time where we just got to say, I lay me down. Lead me to the cross. Lead me to your way, Lord. Amen? And that's what Mary did. She developed an awareness of God. She developed an awareness of God's presence. And that's what we got to do. And she devoted herself to the plan of God for her life. Devotion doesn't mess around. Devotion doesn't have one foot in and one foot out. When you're devoted, you're all in. And that's where it's really going to start happening for you. If you've been sitting on the sidelines saying, man, why anything happening for me? It might be because you're dragging a foot behind you. Jump in with both feet and see what God does. Amen? Whether jump in at church first. Jump in with your relationship with God. Jump in all in. And then watch Him take care of every other part. But God comes first. God comes first. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You. We magnify You. We praise You, Lord. Father, I pray for every person in this room. That, Lord, that I know that You've got a dream, a vision. You've got that life calling, that pattern that You have for them. And, Lord, I know that hurts and circumstances and life have a way of just covering it up and clouding it up. But, Holy Spirit, You are the revealer of truth. And I just ask You, Holy Spirit, to reveal and to remind every person in this room who they are in You. Remind them of the greatness that is in them. Remind them of the dream that You placed in their heart. And Lord, remind us all that with You, all things are possible. Oh, we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, ain't God good? I tell you, God's a God of a second chance. Don't miss out on the life God has for you because of fear. Push past it. Amen? Just push past. Now, I only gave you two, so I'll give you the other two real fast. The third one is to really remind yourself of God's power. It's not up to you. It's up to Him. Amen? If you could do it, it's too small anyway. We need the power of God. And the fourth thing is what Mary did. Excuse me. First thing is she reminded herself. She said, you know what? God's got a plan for my life. Devote yourself to the plan. Rejoice in God's power and stand on His promises. Whatever you're facing, God's got a promise for it. Amen. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, all waiting for you to claim them. Yeah. They're for you. They're like blank checks. God's promise to provide for you, protect you, help you, redeem you, give you the wisdom of God. There is a promise for everything. But you got to get in there and get them. Amen? So get in the Word and get your promise. All right, we're going to receive our offering. How many are ready for that?